Amen. Are you guys excited tonight? Are you excited to be in the house of God? Great. Okay, on this side we've got some excitement. Can I work on this side still? Okay, quickly look around you. Not to the people, to the building. Look around you quickly, all over. Okay, now this is the last time you're going to see this building. This is the last time we're going to have services in this venue. And we don't know where we're moving it, but praise the Lord, God knows. I just want to quickly share because it's been an amazing 3 years. We've been in this building for 3 years. And I just want to quickly see, who of you have been here since the start? Quickly put up your hand. Okay, so it's about 30-40%. So you'll know that God has done amazing things over the last 3 years. And I just thought in preparation for this message, how long did the disciples spend time with Jesus on earth? For 3 years. So I believe it's a very exciting time we're going into. But tonight we want to just close a chapter. Close a chapter in Shofar Rondebosch, the first 3 years of the congregation. So we're going to be sharing just on what I believe, just the plans for us and the purposes of God for us as a church. Before we get to that, I want to quickly, after a certain period, after a season, it's always good to come at the end of the season, to close the chapter, to look back at what God has done, and to do a sort of an evaluation. So that's what we're quickly going to do tonight. We're going to do it as a church, but we're also going to do it for us as individuals. We're going to talk about the patterns to kingdom success. What the Bible, what Jesus teaches about what is success. Now quickly think for yourself, what is success in the kingdom? Who wants to say something there? Being more like Christ. Okay, now that's the answer out of the book. Well done, Angel. Who else wants to go? Duncan. Obedience to God's word. Natasha? Say again? To claim the ground He has given us. Bulani? I didn't get that, sorry. Can you please repeat that in English? He's very good to me. Oh, He's the way and the truth. Yes, that's amazing. Anyone else? Okay, I'm not going to give you the answer, but I want you to look at the scriptures tonight and you see for yourself what is success in the kingdom. And together with that question, I want to ask you, why do we live? Why do we, if you come to Christ and you believe in God, God saved you, why do you stay on this earth? What is the reason for your existence? Why don't God just take us, rapture us, take us directly to heaven? Quickly think of that. What is the answer? It's to save the lost, to witness. But ultimately, it is to bring glory to God. The reason that we live as believers is for one purpose, is to bring glory to Jesus. So that Jesus, the Lamb that was slain, might receive the reward of His suffering. That's why we live in this life, is to glorify God, to bring glory to Him. We're gonna look at that. So I wanna look at three things, three steps, three what I call the patterns of success as believers or as churches, as a church group. The first point is to accept. You can understand what I'm going to say just now. I'll read from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. It says, "The church you see is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which He speaks and acts, by which He fills everything with His presence." I love this scripture. And specifically the Message translation of the scripture. The church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. And a couple of verses before that, verse 20 to 21, it says, all this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from the dead and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He's in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. So, in any place in this life, if you go to the army, if you want to join the army, you have to enroll in the army. If you want to go and study at UCT, you must apply to be accepted at UCT. If you want to rent an apartment, you must sign a contract. So there's a certain set of rules that you submit yourself to, a certain way of doing things, a code of conduct that you submit yourself to when you engage in a certain thing in this life. And the same is the case for us as believers. When you're coming to the kingdom, and often we don't know these things, often we just see the love of God, we're overwhelmed by His love and we respond to Him. And there's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, many times we come to Christ and you don't understand what happened. You don't know that you gave your life to God and that there's the Holy Spirit and how the things work and what's going to work, how the sanctification, all these things, you don't know how it works, but in your spirit, you know. And in this process of walking with God, you begin to discover, what does this mean? So three things that we must accept or come to a place of acceptance in the kingdom that's going to lead to kingdom success. And the first one is to accept, firstly, God's rule. The fact that He's King, the fact that He's Lord. I love the way that this translation says it. It says, God raised Him from death and set Him over a throne in deep heaven. And then He's in charge of everything from galaxies to governments. So God is in control of everything. He governs everything. The Bible says that God's glory is over this whole earth. He fills this whole earth with His glory. So that's the first thing, is to accept the fact that God is a king. He's a Lord. And there's one thing to know God as the Savior, but there's a next thing to know Him as a Lord. Because you can live, you can be a Christian, a believer, but you can run your own life. You can be the Lord of your own life. And Christ is not, but God wants to be Lord of our lives. The second thing is that we must accept the fact that His church, as that scripture says, is the redemptive vehicle to this world. God, everything God does on this earth is through His church, through the vehicle of His church. That's how He chose it. That's how He does things on this earth. And the second thing is to accept the fact that He uses His church. The third thing is to accept a call. Now, I want to just make this clear, but because we often speak about calling, but the calling of God is His calling. It's not my calling, it's His calling on my life. Okay, but it's important for us to understand that as that we, when we receive God's call, that we submit to His way of doing things and His time and His ways of engaging with what He has called us to, and not necessarily the way that we see fit. You know, and the Bible speaks about the fact that God comes and He gives us both the desire and the ability to do His good pleasure. Okay, so God puts desires in our hearts, but at the same time, there's other desires in our hearts. There's worldly desires in our hearts, and the trick is to say, okay, Lord, I accept Your call. I accept Your way. All right, everyone's with me. Okay, we need to accept God's rule, His church, and his call. Now, a couple of years ago, I went to London, went for 3 months, and I went there on a working holiday. I was going to just go there and just do some work, see if I can make some money in London. So I went over to London and I worked there, started getting odd jobs here and there and doing this and that, and I started doing quite a right. And then one of my good friends, he was also going to come. He came to London because he had to study a bit, so he came a bit later. We were going to go together. And then when he came, some of you will know this guy, but I'm not going to say his name. But he came to London with £5. That £5 was just enough for him to get a SIM card to phone me and to get onto a train to get to where I am. And from there on, I had to support him. So I was doing quite all right, but then, you know, I knew I had to lend him some money, but at the same time I knew, okay, when I gave that money, I'm not going to see this money ever again. So, but in any case, so now we were there, we were actually three guys and we were working, and, you know, it's quite difficult just pitching up in London and now, you know, trying to find a job because, you know, normally it takes about a couple of months, but we just have the 3 months. So now we're doing anything from construction work to waitering to anything. We just want to, you know, make use of these 3 months. So now I just finished studying engineering, and, you know, I saw this opportunity on a website. And I was praying, you know, God, show me, where can I find a job? Because the next year I was going to do what Penno and these guys are doing. I was doing an internship, so I was trusting for the finances to be able to survive the year. So now I see this opportunity. It's just like perfect job. The project that I did my final year in at Varsity is exactly what they need. So I know exactly what to do. It's a 2-month contract and it was going to be, you know, they paid in pounds and it was like this amazing opportunity. So now I went to the friends in London, I got myself a suit, went to the interview, because it was, I couldn't understand this because it was on a website that no one would ever look for jobs. So I went to the interview, sat down with the guys, and now another advertisement said they wanted experience, but now I did my thesis, my honors thesis in this very thing. So, you know, I thought this is going to be great because no one else is going to see this thing now. So I go to the interview, they sit down, we talk, and it goes very well, and go home, and I get this call from an agency, and this, because now you phone a lot of agencies, so now this guy phones me from an agency, he says, no, there's this opportunity, and it's going to be this and that. So I said, no, I found this new opportunity. So now this guy begins to speak to me, but sort of in a very manipulative way. So now I'm just from, you know, I'm just a student, bit naive. So on the phone, he asks me now, okay, but now what is this job and where is it? Where did you get it? So now I tell him where I got the job and, you know, what's it about and so forth. So I put the phone down and when I put it down, I realized, okay, but now I lost the job. Because now he's a recruitment guy, he's going to phone the people, and they're going to, you know, they've got lists of people that can do that. And of course, now I'm just a student. I just came out of varsity. These people have lots of experience. Very next day, the guy phones me. He says, sorry, they found someone with better quality or that's more experienced, but thank you very much for your application. So I was broken. I was shattered. Because I put all my hopes for the last 2 weeks, I would, you know, was practicing the interview and put all my hopes on this thing, and now I was shattered. So I remember going to God, and I was like, okay, but Lord, now I'm desperate because I need to go back, you know, to Stellenbosch to do this internship. And long story short, my dad said he's not going to provide, he's not going to help with this thing because now this is what I wanted to do. And now I'm like, God, I thought that this was your provision. And I remember as I was praying, I felt just the presence of the Holy Spirit come into the room. It's so powerful that I just sat there. We were living in a bit of a mess of a place. rats all over. I won't go into the detail. Rats like this size. We called them small cats because they were literally this size. Any case, so now I'm sitting there. God's presence comes into the room, and it's almost like a Solomon moment where God comes to me and He says to me, "I'll give you anything that you want." And immediately now in my mind comes up this opportunity. And I sat there and I realized, but you know, God's presence is so here, and I know whatever I ask Him, He's going to give it to me. I've never had such a conviction of something before. And, you know, of course now I realize, okay, but, you know, this is exactly what happened with Solomon, and he chose wisdom. And in that moment, it was like I had these two choices. It was like God placed these two choices before me. The one was, you know, to get the finances for what I needed. And the other one was to have, I just felt the urge to choose to build God's house. That He would give me the ability to build His house. Now, I had such a clear understanding of what God was saying. It's either the one or the other. I had to make a clear distinction here. And I realized that in the, you know, in the flesh, I just want to have this one because now this is going to make everything easy. But on this side, I knew that was God's heart. And I remember it was a long prayer session because I had to make this choice. And eventually I chose to build God's house. And to ask God to give me the ability to work in His house. And I remember it was like something died in me. It was such a difficult decision to make. But in that moment, in that time with God, it was like the most amazing peace and joy came over me. Just to know that this is God's decision. So for the rest of the sort of the time I was in peace, I knew that, you know, I was now in God's will because something had shifted in me. It was such a life-defining moment where I chose not to do things, you know, according to the ways of the world. You know, and I went back, and I've shared this story a couple of times, but went back that year and I had no money. In fact, I made a bit of a loss being in London. And I had to live the whole year, you know, without any provision. And it's amazing. I can tell you story after story of how God came to provide for me. You know, once guy came to me, I needed money for missions and for my rent and everything. And I prayed to God. I said, "Lord, everything, the word says everything." We're going to look at the scripture now. "Everything we ask in your name, you'll give it to us." And I said it that evening. The next morning, a guy comes to me with an envelope with exactly 6,500 rand in. I worked it out. It was exactly my rent plus the money I needed for the mission plus 10%. So God provided my tithe even, so I could give my tithe back to God. But I can tell you, and it's, you know, I made this choice, but I can tell you, it's the best choice I made in my life. This choice was the way of the world. It was easy, it was like I got all the money, you know, it was simple. But on this side, it was to choose God's way. It was the difficult way, it was the tough way, but it's the rewarding way. Because I found so much joy and fulfillment in, you know, today, and I often say this, but I know God provides. You know, you don't need to convince me. I lived completely off His provision for a year. You know, so that's where it comes to accepting God's call. You know, because God's call is a real thing. It's Him coming into our lives saying, "I'm calling you to do this." Unfortunately, in the church today, you know, God's calling has become such a funny, self-fulfilling sort of thing. But God's call is simply to do what He's called you to do. To do His will. So the first point is to come to that place of acceptance. Someone said it here, God requires only one thing from us. I think Duncan said it is obedience. It's to listen and to obey. When He speaks, when the God, and just think of it for yourself, but if the God of the universe speaks, you know, sometimes we get so used to it as believers that God speaks to us, but if the God of the universe speaks to you, then you can know that there's a good thing to listen. Because he knows everything. So first thing is to accept the way, accept the challenges, accept what God, the path that is laid before you. Sometimes, you know, and often see this in my own life, that I look at the path, I know this is what God has called to me, and I'm, you know, I look at it and I'm like, I can't see it in me. I don't, you know, it's not something I can do. But then I know that God has made provision. Sometimes that call is not easy, but we must accept the fact that He calls us. He's the ruler, He's the God, He's the one in charge, and His church is the vehicle. And this is such an important thing, the fact that His church is the vehicle. Because His church is so under attack these days, that so few of us understand that God uses the church. He uses individuals as well, but He wants His church to come to the place to take up His call. The second point is to abide. So firstly, we accept. Secondly, we abide in Christ. We're talking about the path of success in the Christian walk. It says in John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8, "I am the true vine," Jesus speaking, "and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away." Did you see that? "Every branch that does not bear fruit, He takes away." Another passage in Scripture says that every tree that does not bear fruit, He cuts off. He chops off. You know, it's the bit of the fear of God that comes in there. When we realize that God is looking for fruit in our lives. "And every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself." We cannot bear fruit without God. "Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Now see this, verse 8. "By this my Father is glorified." Remember, God is looking for us to bring glory to His name. That's why we live. "That you may bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." So how do you prove to be God's disciples? You bear fruit. Okay, so the measure of our success, how do we see it? Of course, Angel said it, we must become like Christ. The purpose of our lives is to become Christ-like. Is to look like Christ. Like Liana said, Sia said it this weekend, but the most amazing compliment that someone can ever give you is to say that you look like Jesus. That is the best compliment you can ever get. We're called to be like Christ, but now how do you measure success? How do you measure Christ-likeness? Is you look at fruit. That's why Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruit." So don't look at what they do, don't look at what they preach, don't look at what they say. Look at the fruit of their lives. Does that fruit indicate that Christ is in them? So the measure of success is simply to see, is there fruit? To see if we, and that's this is the equation. God gives it to us. It's such a beautiful scripture, but God gives us the way of how to connect into, how to see godliness, how to see life come into our lives, is to be connected into Him. He says, "I am the vine." Jesus is the vine. And we must be connected into Him. Now there's a difference between standing on God's promises and living in God's blessing or His favor, or being saved even, and abiding. Who knows that? You can stand on God's promise but not abide in Him. You can be saved but not abide in Him. Abiding is reserved for those that choose to be close to God. For those that choose to connect with God. You know, and so often this is very simply and purely a decision that you and I need to make. And so often, you know, I'm just talking about my own life, but I live in a bit of a poverty. You know, I just get enough for what I need. I don't know if anyone wants to be honest tonight. You just get enough from God to make it through your day, or the next day, or the month. You know, but you know what? God wants us to bear abundant fruit. He wants us to get enough for ourselves. But so that there's enough for those around us, enough food for everyone to come and eat and take of your life. I remember when I just came to Christ, my first holiday as a believer, I remember I was so excited and passionate for God. I would just read my Bible every day and just spend time in God's presence and just fill myself up. And I remember, I don't know where I got the idea, but I thought that someone said to me that you cannot share Christ that if you don't have the ability to follow them up. So I was far away from a church, so I thought, okay, but now, you know, I'm scared. I can't, if there's not a church close, then I can't share because now who's going to follow this person up? Now, of course, God is much bigger than that. And eventually I realized that, you know, I've got all this to give. I just want to give it. I want to, you know, just bless someone. And I went to the security guard of the building that we were staying, and I just felt to come and pray for him, and I asked him if he's got any needs, and he said he's deaf in his one ear. So now I'm a new believer, so now I'm like, you know, I thought it's going to be a small need, but now he's deaf in his ear. I've never even I've heard people get, you know, healed from being deaf. So I prayed for him, put my hand on his ear, and I just prayed and I asked God's kingdom to come in his life, and I just blessed him. And nothing happened at the moment, so I just thought, okay, well, you know, that's what I had to do. And I shared, I spent some time with him, and I went away. So the next year, my parents came back to the same place. I didn't come back. And then he was, once again, the security guard at the place. Now my mother comes back and she says, now, but this guy, he got healed. His ear opened. He went to a church, and now he's in the building. He's giving scriptures to everyone at the houses. He got healed, and now he's a believer. He's following God, and not only is he following God, he's an evangelist. He gives everyone scriptures, and God transformed and changed his life. You know, and you know, for us, and it's, you know, sort of holiday time. I want to encourage you. You know that it's often what we do on holidays is we take a holiday from God as well. We take a bit of a break, you know, we've now, you know, had a tough year and we've worked hard, and but now we take a holiday from God as well. And I want to encourage you to not do that, but to continue to abide in Christ. And in fact, in a time of holiday, in time of resting, we're supposed to even more. Because now you've got time, you can spend time in the Word, and you know, the things that you can't do when you're working, do it now. Get into the Word, start that Bible reading program, but abide in Christ. Because if you abide in Him, you will bear much fruit. So often we go on holiday, and we come back even more tired than we were at the start. Because we neglect to abide in Christ. Alright, are we going to abide? Great. The third point, third and the last one, accept God's purpose, abide in Him, and then account. Give an account. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to 12. It says, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is in another's, who will give you that which is your own? Luke chapter 19 verse 17 says, and he said to him, "Well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. Isn't that amazing? You know that parable? With the talents. Master gives the talents to the servants. He says to them, go and, you know, use this money and be effective in using this money. And he comes back and he says to each servant that made more money than he had, he says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. And he says to him, you've been faithful in little, now I'll give you much. I'll place you, place 10 cities under your charge, in fact. And this principle in our lives is such a powerful principle. When we begin to realize that the things that God has given us, that we have them to steward them. And all of us, I can tell you, all of you have got things that God has given you. Some of us are just not aware of it. We must ask God to open our eyes to be able to see what He has given us. For some of us, it's little things. For some of us, God has entrusted us with a bit more already. But whether it's much or little, that is not the factor here. The factor is if you are going to steward that well. Because you see that the one had 5 talents and he was given 5 cities. Do you see that principle? Do you see the fact that if you are faithful in the little things in your life, God is going to place you over much. But now, we must choose to make a decision to be content in what we have now, so that God can, on His time, in His plan, remember it's His goal, that He will promote us, and He will give us more. I want to encourage you, some of you have been fighting for things. So something that the Lord revealed to me. Some of you have been fighting for things in your own lives. And you've actually haven't been realizing, but you've actually been fighting for not just yourself. It's been a bit of a spiritual battle. But you've been fighting for people that are going to follow after you. You've been fighting for, you know, and often God does this with us. You know, He does something in your life, and if you fight and if you conquer, if you overcome, God is going to give that to other people. So many of us, and especially now in the context of us as a church, the things that we fight for that is difficult for us, the people coming after us are going to share of that. They're going to go so much more quicker into what we have. The struggles that we fight, they're going to do it so much quicker. And where's Dudu? I want to just commend Dudu. There's Dudu, ready to dance. But I really want to commend your dancing, Dudu. Just your boldness in going, because you know what Dudu is opening up the door for people after it to feel comfortable and to come into freedom. Because of her boldness and the fact that she fights, you know, through, you know, spiritual fights and intimidation, whatever, she is making the way for people after to be free, for ladies to come into church and to express themselves in worship, or guys, not just ladies. Liana says, amen. It's not just the ladies. But God has given us. And take what He has given you and ask God to open your eyes. Because sometimes, you know, it's insignificant things. But you know what? God is looking to see your faithfulness in the insignificant things. If you're going to be faithful in that, God is going to place you over much. Bible talks about, it says there, that if you are faithful over something that is not your own, that is another thing. Sometimes we're very faithful about what we have, what's got our names written upon it. But we're not so faithful about the vision that God has given, for instance, your small group leader. Or the person that's leading you for blessing and the mission team for the plate guys. You're excited about what you do, but you're not necessarily excited about the vision that God has given him. But if you're faithful in what God has given him, guess what? God is going to, you know, place you into positions. He's going to, on His time, place you over much. So those are the sort of principles, the 3 steps in coming to a place of success in Christ, in the kingdom, is to bear fruit, is to accept God's call, to abide, continuously abide in Him. And then the last point is to be a faithful steward. I've just been reminded the last couple of weeks, but you know what? Whenever Jesus talks about the last days, whenever He talks about a parable of the end times, He always talks about this thing of stewardship. If you steward well, whether it's the 10 virgins with the lamps, or whether it's the guys with the talents, or any of the parables of the end times, it's always about, are you stewarding well? Even though the master's not yet here, are you taking care of what He has entrusted to you? Are you taking care of what He's given to you? And then in that place, and that's where we need each other and to hold each other accountable, but it's in that place where we begin to bear fruit. We begin to bountifully produce what God wants in our lives. We begin to produce the character of Christ-like, and we begin to bless people around us. So is that something that you guys want to do? And it's an exciting time for us as a church. And I really believe that God is doing some things in this church, and He's preparing for us great things. So let's take what God has given us. Let's celebrate it. But let's not just celebrate what He's given us now, but let's steward it. And say, Lord, but this is not insignificant. Because when I look at this, what we have here, I can see through the eyes of Jesus, because God can quickly do amazing stuff. He can quickly promote us in great ways. And the final thought I want to just leave with you, before we're just going to pray tonight, is the fact that Jesus says that he who lays hand to the plow, who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. It's one of those very hard words of scripture, but you know what? The Bible talks very often about the fear of God. You know, and CS once again shared this weekend, but fear of God is not a feeling. It's not a good feeling. The fear of God is the fear of God, is being afraid of God. That is the fear of God. But that's a biblical teaching. It's a biblical thing that we as believers are supposed to embrace. But if you've put your hand to the plow, you must continue in that. You cannot look back. You cannot look back. And as what happened with me, that decision that I made before God to make a choice, that decision, I cannot look back to the ways that I plan and the ways that I want to do. But I've already made a decision, and now I must continue steadfastly. And the moment, and so many times we as believers, we as Christians, we keep open a back door. We choose what God wants for us, but then we just keep the back door open, and so often we look back. You know, and we've got another option if this thing doesn't work out. But you know what? And I feel that there's actually some of you that's in that place at the moment, because in that place there's no peace. Because God cannot bring His peace. But you know what? The moment that you say, I'm closing that door, I'm looking ahead, then God's peace comes and His joy comes. But if you've got all the doors at the back, the other options in your mind or whatever it is, maybe it's a physical, maybe it's a financial thing, but it's a door that you're keeping open. God is saying to you, go there. You're keeping open that door. Then you're actually putting yourself in a place of unpeace. I want to invite you tonight to come before God and to say, Lord, is there any open doors in my life? Is there any doors that I'm keeping open? Ways of escape, relationships even, that if this thing doesn't work out, then I'm going back there. I want to ask you, where are you sitting? Just, why don't you just close your eyes and just ask God. Just in the pureness of your heart, open up your heart and say, Lord, is there anything like that? I want to ask you, Lord, is there anything that I'm doing, any decisions that I've made, show it to us, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you reveal to us. ways of escape, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just make clear the call, your call, on every person's life here tonight. Just make it clear, Lord. I pray that, Lord, you would come and bring a separation between our voices, the voice of the world, and your voice. Thank you, Lord. Bring everyone now to the place of hearing your still, small voice. Make every other voice that speaks, make it silent, Lord. Bring us to a place of peace, Lord. Just allow God to minister to you, to speak to you, to show you He's faithful, even if we aren't faithful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your call. Thank you for your love towards us. Thank you that your love will never allow us, Lord, but you will keep us. Father, thank you that you call us into a place of abiding in you, into a place of connecting to you, of knowing you. Where we're never empty, Lord, but we're always full, Lord, as your word even says that streams of living waters will flow from our innermost being. We will be full. We will never thirst again. Now, I want to just ask tonight, if you may be sitting here and you don't know how to connect with God. You don't know how to come into that place of abiding in Him. Maybe you've never even done that or tried that. Or maybe you're here tonight and you don't hear God's voice. You're not experiencing life in abundance. That's what Jesus has for us. Or maybe you knew God, you followed God, you still do the right things, you read your Bible, you do all these things, but you're not connected to the source. Then I want to pray with you tonight. If you're not connected to the vine, into Him, where the perfect peace flows. And I want to ask you to be very bold, to just raise your hand where you're sitting. So, Lord, I want to come to you tonight. I want to abide in you. I want to come to you. Is there anyone else? Thank you for the land. Is there anyone else? Thank you for the land. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for every heart, every hand, Lord, that went up now. Every heart that responded to you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name that you would come and reconnect them to the source. In Jesus' name, Father, where the branch on its own cannot do anything, cannot bear fruit, can do nothing. Pray that you would come and do what you do, Lord, and connect them back to your heart, to the source, to your life, to the source of life, to Jesus. We pray that, Lord, everything will move back to the center point of Christ in these lives. And Father, we come against every lie of the enemy that keeps them from that place. Every storm that keeps them from that place of peace with God. Thank you for your peace instead, Lord. Can I just ask everyone, if you can just pray with the person next to you. If God has been speaking to you tonight about spending time with Him, connecting into Him, resting, because you know that there's a rest for all of us. The Bible talks about a rest in God, where the people of the Jewish people, they went through the wilderness, but they didn't enter into the rest. But there is a rest for all of us. It's not a Sunday or a Sabbath day. It's a place that all of us enter into where there's peace and joy. And God wants that for all of us. But we need to make a decision to connect into Him, to abide in Him. So quickly, just with the person next to you, why don't you just pray for each other? If there's any specific needs, just bring those before God. But let's just bring those needs before God.